Casting 2.0 for March 19th, 2021, episode 29. We're the Castaways. Always searching for some kind of tie-in before the show. It's difficult. Friday afternoon, once again, time for a board meeting. Podcasting 2.0, discuss the week's developments, podcastindex.org. I'm Adam Curry in Austin, Texas, and in Alabama, the nester of the namespace, my friend on the other end, Dave Jones.
Castaways, I see what you did.
Yeah, I know. What can I say?
I made it through the week, and I'm not dead. I mean, the universe tried to kill me this week. It threw everything at
me. Man, you had corporate tax day, which is a big deal for you, I think.
Yeah, and death in the family, extended
family.
Yeah, I'm
sorry about that.
And that's called some kind of stomach virus.
Oh, no.
Like, halfway through the week, yeah. Like, half of my posts on the Mastodon were from the John, you know.
That must have been when your sequel took a dump. Somehow you got some kind of sympathy thing going on there with the code. You should watch that, Dave. That's not very healthy.
It's like the birth sympathy or pregnancy sympathy
sympathy contractions.
Dump. Sympathy dumps. Yeah.
Sympathy dumps. Exactly.
Speaking of dumps, I've finished up something right before the show here.
Okay.
We got
seriously. Do we need to know about your dump before the show?
That was such a smooth segue that we it didn't even come across. No, I actually put some stuff into our new field into the.
Oh yeah,
into our nightly database dump.
Yeah, which is the enclosure URL of the most recent episode, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I just did that literally an hour ago.
Now, what? Who benefits from that? Just so I understand.
I think everybody can benefit, but the person who brought it up that said they wanted it was James Cridlin, and the reason he wanted it was because he wanted a way to compare. A way to find out who has moved from one host to another.
Right. And also, I guess this whole thing with redirect URLs that's been going on.
That's another thing that could be gleaned out of it. True. Yeah. I think if you have the last, so this is what happens. Sometimes somebody will use a host to host their MP3s, but they'll self-host the feed somewhere else.
Right.
So you really don't know, you could be self-hosted with your feed on PowerPress or Castapod, but then you could have your MP3s because of bandwidth. You could have your MP3 enclosures up with Libsyn or, Blueberry Buzzsprout or something
right.
like that.
Right.
And so I think it's gives you another way just cause the feed didn't change doesn't mean the host didn't change. And so that just gives you another comparison route to figure that out.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, good.
But I think it could be useful for other stuff too, like what we were talking about on the Mastodon, where you have the ability now to do some checking. So now you have a big dump of all the feeds and the enclosures in this. So now you can do things like check for cores access on the feed and the enclosures and see if some of them are out.
You know, this is such a hassle. This cores is just a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Nope. It's important, though. I don't think...
But there seems to be no universal kind of okay, here's my node ID. I approve it from now on forever.
That would be great.
That's what I'm looking for. It's like everyone is... It seems like everyone has different ideas on how to implement it, but really it's the podcaster that should do it differently. But then, I mean, I even saw that you have to ask Void Zero about something with the Podcasting 2.0 feed. What are we doing wrong with cores? What did I do wrong? Now I'm sad.
Yeah. All the feeds for, say, Nogen, MoFax, PC20, they're all, none of them are cores, they don't allow access. So, for people who may not understand this, so CORS stands for cross origin resource sharing. And so the idea there is, so in the browser, the one thing that is sacrosanct is same origin. So in order for JavaScript to execute in the browser has to have loaded a resource
that is from that server,
from that domain, right?
Okay.
And so the origin domain is considered the only thing that can execute JavaScript or communicate with other resources.
Okay, I understand the hijack issues. Yes. Okay. Got it.
So yeah. If you just willy-nilly open up your cores and don't think about it, you could end up allowing what's called cross-site request forgeries and things like that, where JavaScript in one site is executing code in another site. Oh, and so that's, you're screwed.
I think that must be illegal in many states.
It is in Alabama. Everything's illegal here. I can tell you that, brother.
Mask up, bitch.
Yeah.
I'm in Texas.
yeah, for real. Yeah, I've got a clip.
Oh, lordy, lordy.
Oh, jeez. I got to go find my clips here.
Okay.
This is completely irrelevant to podcasting.
Right. Oh, well, I got a
clip of Meemaw.
Oh, Meemaw. Yeah, so I called Marmy.
No,
Meemaw. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You want to give a little bit of Meemaw? Okay.
This is the governor of
Alabama.
Alabama.
Even with this positive news, however, Dr. Harris and I are both convinced that we need to get past Easter and hopefully allow more Alabamians to get their first shot before we take a step some other states have taken to remove the mask order altogether and lift other restrictions. Folks, we're not there yet, but goodness knows we're getting closer. The modified order will include several changes that will ease up some of our current restrictions while keeping our mask order in place for another 5 weeks through April 9. But let me be abundantly clear. After April the 9th, I will not keep the mask order in effect.
Oh, okay.
And when we even when we lift the mask order, I will continue to wear my mask while I'm around others and strongly urge my fellow citizens to use common sense and do the same thing.
Oh, there you go.
All right, you can stop it. I'd actually forgot what was in this because I've been carrying this clip for a few weeks.
Well, the one thing that's interesting is that she sounds like that actor, the kind of small guy, old guy, gray hair, and he's always like the crazy gay uncle.
I don't know who that is. She sounds like Foghorn Leghorn.
Do you remember Will and Grace?
No,
you never watched Will and Grace. Okay, never mind. It's all right. It doesn't matter.
that accent is Old South accent.
Oh,
that is... And that is priests. Whenever you hear somebody in the South talking like that, they either come from Old South politics or Old South money. That's your two, because nobody talks like that in the state of Alabama, except for there's only about 5% of Alabamians or Georgians or Mississippians that sound like that, where they have the soft R. On the end,
right?
They sound like Foghorn Leghorn.
And when you encounter one of these 5%, do you go and kick him in the shins, or what are you supposed to do?
No, because they all have bodyguards.
Oh, okay.
No, they're usually in politics, Southern politics. But this is, like I said, it's completely off topic. But she screwed this up so bad because the power of the mask mandate. Is the lifting of the mandate.
Yes, of course.
Because then you can say freedom.
Freedom.
Yes, freedom. But you never want to say, okay, we're going to lift the mask mandate, but I encourage you to still wear one. No, that's wrong.
That's what Adler said here in Texas, in Austin.
Yeah, that's a total screw up. Just wait and lift it when you can actually do it. Don't like, you know, half-ass it like that. Well, that's awful.
Dave, don't get me started on this, please.
Sorry.
don't get me started. Hey, chapters are going nuts. So I'm seeing people tweet their smartwatches, I think using Podcast Addict, where the chapter art is rotating on their watch. Overcast has now, after implementing chapter images, if you want to embed them into your file, is now also showing chapter links with URLs. So even though even though he's doing it his own way, we're driving innovation because clearly these are features that his users want too.
Oh yeah, that was a kind of an uproar with the whole him skipping.
Yeah, whatever. He reversed that. but you know, that's for the ad guys to go figure out. I'm not that interested. But the fact that we're driving features in his universe, I think, is important.
Well, I think we can. I think we're about to drive some more because one of the things that we're going to add in phase three, we need to talk about that. I don't know if you want to talk.
You want to do that
with our guest?
I'd like to do that with the guest.
Okay.
Who is patiently standing by? So.
But we're going to drive that some more because I mean we need to put some more stuff into the chapter spec. I love the chapter spec because it's extensible, and we may get our first extension on this next go around here.
And what's that going to be?
Location. We need to put the location tag into the chapters.
Right. And it could be an independent location tag for each chapter mark.
Yeah. So you could tag each chapter for walking tours and stuff like that.
Right. So that's the map guys who showed up. That was really nice to see them. What are they called? Maps.fm? Maps.fm, yeah. Maps.fm. I love that. It's like, hey, I'm a map guy. Got anything from map guys?
Yes, we do.
Why, yes, we do have. Oh, this is nice. So they have, they have podcasts. What do they have with podcasts? Oh, is it all podcasts?
Yeah, I think it's a podcast thing.
Oh, okay. Discover great stories. Maps FM helps you discover great stories about the places we live, the places we're from, and the places we travel.
Yeah, I mean, nice. Chapter stuff would be perfect.
No, it's outstanding. This is cool with this map. Zoom in. Can I be the first in Austin? Unlikely.
But this is like geotagging. Do you remember geotagging?
Oh, hell yeah. Well, you know, I way back when I still had my iRiver recorder, MP3 player. Yeah,
that is old.
Yeah. Ran on a single AA battery forever. I hooked it up to a professional wireless lav microphone, which it didn't even have to be wireless, but it had some dynamics in there. The combination with the iRiver was just fucking amazing. I recorded in my airplane, everything with that thing, and so I do what I then called sound seeing tours. But I had it, it was stereo. So I would be walking, I think one of the most memorable ones probably was Union Square, San Francisco at midnight. Nothing but homeless people. And, you know, I was just talking to all of them, seeing what was going on with them. And then just walk around. And then it gave a really cool kind of, in a way, virtual reality. If you just close your eyes and just listen to it, you know, it was really nice.
Not the theater of the mind, yeah.
Totally theater of the mind. So, you know, being able to add some things to visualize that, especially with the location. And I'm seeing how important search has become. Really is. I think it really is a big way people find stuff.
Well, I mean, look, Alabama Grist Mill is right here.
I mean, I know it sounds like Captain Obvious. It's just.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had this idea. It's called searching. It's called for search. Things.
Yeah, it's just I look for the interactions. You know how people share podcasts. Oh, okay, and you know they go to their Google or their DuckDuckGo, which is a browser with a homepage set to whichever search engine it is, and they just type it in there and they'll click around. And I don't even know how many people search for it in a podcast app. I think they probably look for it online first, and then I don't know. It doesn't seem to be a straightforward thing. Most people just tell someone else about it and you find it.
Maybe does our search, is it okay? Does it need to improve? Like, how does it suck? Do we need to make it better?
Sometimes I feel like I have to be very exact to get the match.
Yeah,
so that part is very non I use Quant as my search.
You've You have been through so many searches over the years.
I know. Decentralized search. That was my favorite.
Yacy. Do you remember Yacy?
Yeah. Yet another, what, search engine? Yacy.
Yeah,
Yacy. Oh, my God. I ran Yacy instances. And, you know, it was really cool because the results that would come up were so wildly different from anything anywhere else. You know, a lot of German results. It's like, yeah. Okay, this is Adam. I'm Googling, you know, search. There you go, Googling. I'm searching myself. Coming up with weird shit. Yeah,
I remember because that was the one that you could like hook in your own, your own stuff, so it would index other things besides just the internet.
I'm sure I tried
your little world.
I'm sure I tried to convince you to build something like that with me at one point.
Oh well, I had a Yacy server connected to yours.
We were federating Yacy servers. Yeah. Okay, all right, boomers, shut up and move on with podcasting 2.0.
Yeah,
well,
for real.
Before we get to our guest, because I think that this kind of falls into, we got to do some hot namespace talk. We didn't have it last show. A lot of complaints.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of complaints. Yeah. The cancel cannon is coming. Coming for Patreon and for podcast advertisers. Oh, yeah. So you actually had that article. I don't have it in front of me. Was it the New York Times talking about
Variety?
Variety. Okay, there's your Hollywood Insider magazine. So they're putting together, what's it called, the Podcast Advisory Committee?
Yeah, you're going to have to tell me how this works, because I bailed out on this article like two paragraphs in, because I thought this is Adam's turf. It says the Media Roundtable.
Oh,
a group of, it's a group of organizations that aims to promote civility and stronger dialogue in media.
Yeah, okay, so I'll explain what this is. So the big advertisers who really can't be bothered with, they just want a report and how much did I get return on investment for my money? And someone can always say half of it worked. We just can't tell you which half. That's the old joke. but the agency sits in the middle and they are the buyers and they do these placements. And historically, these have been very young people to very shit paying job. And you actually you get a lot of incentives from the media networks with, you know, Knicks tickets, you know, stuff like that. So, there's a lot of, and just open about it. You know, it's like, yeah, I'll place an order with him. So it's all kind of loosey-goosey.
Are these the brown shoes guys you talk about all the time?
No. The brown shoe guys and gals, they're the ones that go out on the road and sell hard for like a, you know, $100,000 contract. You know, that's brown shoe. You got to have polished ass brown shoes to do that job.
Okay.
Yeah. So these are just media buyers. They sit in the cube and you know, they're just kind of working through the spreadsheets and doing the numbers and trying to get some ROI. And they have a manager, but no one really cares about them that much in my experience. And so now that we, you know, podcasting is a problem, everyone wants to try and capture it. Everybody wants to have their hand on it. And the content thought police don't like it. We've talked about the articles. Hey, who's moderating that shit over there? And it's really to protect big brands who want nothing unsafe near their content. So this roundtable, who, of course, are experts in all of these podcasts and will have listened to every single second of every single one of them and knowing exactly which one is problematic, they'll make a list. And that list will be places that you don't necessarily want to advertise on because it could be problematic or triggering or anything like that. And they'll have a scale. It's like the Southern Poverty Law Center. They're going to have charts and they'll publish reports. It's a roundtable. They will accomplish nothing, only be destructive. And I think it's partially I won't even say it's political. I'd say it's just to, they just can't fucking stand it. They want control over this Wild West. It's like, it's too good, you know? And look, they're bumbling around. They clearly can't make any money out of this thing. It's only worth $1 billion. Hey, we'll come in, we'll shore that shit up, and we'll make it great for advertising. That's what's going on here.
That's interesting, because I was looking at this Magellan top 15 advertisers in February of 2021. I printed this out. And so if you add it all up, their top 15 is like 28 million. So that's about 340 million annually from these top. So you have about a third of the total revenue comes from 15 advertisers. Annually.
Yeah, it's not very broad.
It's not broad. And but if you dig down a little deeper and look at which ones of these are just kind of VC, so BetterHelp, ZipRecruiter, HelloFresh, ExpressVPN.
No, those are all really call to action ads. So it involves you remembering a code typically. So it's a different type of budget, different type of deal, and there is some performance based on what's happening. Because this is deja vu. I had the same conversations, the same bullshit, brand safe content. We need to have codes to really know that people are listening and not just downloading and not listening. It's the same damn shit. This is why we're here. This is why we're here.
What happens when these VC companies flip, like BetterHelp? I think that's like a mental health thing.
Those are the advertisers.
BetterHelp was number one at 4.3 million.
Yeah. Well, you get an implosion like sock puppet, pets.com in the .com bubble.
Well, I mean, if they keep that up, they've been the top advertiser for 3 months.
What I need to know is Verizon advertising, is AT&T advertising, is Pfizer advertising? That's what I need to know. Is BMW advertising, is GM advertising? Are they on the list?
Well, I mean, you got Geico, Progressive, NBC,
Bank of America,
Amazon, okay. Squarespace.
No, I'm talking
Capital
Pharma.
One.
How about Capital Pharma? One? Okay, they got financials.
IBM. No, there's no pharma on this list at all.
Look, I'm going to tell you what the end. What always winds up happening. I'm just going to tell you right now, when you have a monetization system, is you always wind up making content for the advertiser. And where it typically winds up with podcast networks, and you're already seeing this at Spotify, is they're doing podcasts on spec. They're doing basically native advertising for the big advertisers. Oh, we'll do a series about... putting together IKEA furniture, IKEA, you know, we'll do a podcast about that. And that I've been down that road. That's what always winds up happening.
Yeah.
It's annoying. Well,
if so much of this list at the top is top heavy with, VC backed companies, those things can implode so fast. There's 4.3 million from BetterHelp, 1.8 from ZipRecruiter, 1.8 from HelloFresh, and 1.7 from ExpressVPN. If those things vanish within a couple of months, I mean, that's like 50 million in revenue gone annually. It could just evaporate.
Yeah, I know.
So I think that's what bothers me about this list.
It's very, very small. $1 billion is nothing in 17 years, 18 years. It's nothing. Nothing.
What one pharma company probably does that?
We're going to run $1 billion a year in Satoshis through podcast ecosystem.
Man, based on how much Sphinx was rocking this week.
Holy shit. That was outrageous.
I was so surprised.
It's outrageous. I sent you the chart, right? We've already done 13,000 transactions, 30 days trailing, which means the podcast index has been involved in 13,000 transactions. That's on the way up.
Well, see, I mean, usually I wake up in the morning and my Sphinx chat has the little badge on it that says you how many new messages are in the tribes.
I had to get a new app. Mine crashed. There were too many messages.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What? I mean, I woke up, I guess it was Thursday morning, and like usually it's like 15 to 20. I woke up and it was 400 and something. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, it's Marty and I had Paul on at Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah, I mean, it went to the next level.
Oh yeah,
couple of days ago.
No, it's and well, also, you know, the Sphinx guys have figured out there's still some growing pains, but they figured out their node provisioning, so that's rocking. Marty's coming to Austin in April.
He's moving there?
No, he says a pilgrimage with his smoking hot wife I said, oh, good. I'll introduce you to my smoking hot wife and we'll go out to dinner.
No, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Where's he lives? In California?
Gosh, I want to say he lives. I don't know. I really don't know. I think he lives in some, like between U67 and U68 on the UHF dial, kind of in the fuzz. He lives in that space in between those two, in between home shopping, you know, local home shopping and a Bible guy. You know, that's where Marty lives, man.
That's one thing y'all need more of in Austin is more people.
So, so just hooking into that, then I want to get to our guest. This bubble graph that Marnix has made.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean,
it's beautiful.
Now, if you look at this, and if you haven't seen, I'll put a link in the show notes. When you see this graph, it represents for the first time, you know, people say, you know, what is podcasting? This is a visualization of the value flow of the podcast ecosystem. I mean, it is absolutely a thing of beauty. And the way you can see the connections and who's routed to who, this is going to be, somehow this visualization of what's going on is going to be important in the future. I'm not quite sure why, but it feels like you almost want to, I want to surf those nodes, you know, like, oh, here I am, and I'm going on a surf and like, oh, I've got a channel. Oh, I got a fat ass channel over here. What's connected to this? I mean, this may be how you can discover podcasts based upon proximity to nodes. You know, I'm trying to get my Sphinx relay to, which is working. Now I'm trying to get it. You're supposed to be able to create the virtual nodes. So I can just invite a whole bunch of people and they can use the Sphinx chat app. So I haven't gotten that working yet, but I can, you know, so if you're connected to one of these, like Uncle Jim nodes with thousands of buddies hanging off of it, you're all kind of using one LND, even mm-hmm. though you have your own keys. That's the whole idea of this. We talked about in the last show with Paul and Evan, that you might surf this bubble graph and say, this is a community over here. You know, that could be a tribe. It can be a node. People are hanging off a node. You're like, oh, who's here? You know, and maybe that's where you find it's like the ultimate clubhouse. Yet there are also feeds for you know, they're all podcast related, which is very it's very important. This is what Share My OPML was always supposed to be.
I remember,
but it never really. It was just you couldn't. This to me is the visualization. So now if I can see, if I were to be able to see your Breeze node. I'm just I don't know if that's even possible. I'm just saying it. Let's say, or you're, as a standalone podcast app, and maybe you would let me see your connection. Well, no, I could see your connections from your wallet to the other podcasts you're listening to. And I can even see how much you value each one of them.
Well,
he really values this podcast highly. And look where he valued it. Ooh, at this time stamp. Oh, maybe I'll listen to that part as a clip.
Maybe we should go ahead and bring in our guest because I think this fits perfectly.
You are something I want to talk about. So right, and he's been very kind, waiting for us. Which I think now it's only 6 hours later than us because we somehow jumped to daylight savings time. Very happy to have from Paris. From Paris, France, Benjamin Bellamy. He is the man behind Castapod. Welcome to Podcasting 2.0. Take your seat at the board table.
Hi, guys.
Hey, guys. There he is.
Hey, I have a beef with you right off the bat.
He could, like a true Frenchman comes out swinging. Okay, what's up?
I have a beef with you, and it is that I heard on this morning on Podland that you were on there yesterday. What is up with that? Why did you scoop us by one day?
What?
On Cridlin's podcast.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's true. I hoped that you wouldn't have listened to it yet.
Oh, man, that's a rookie mistake for a guest, buddy, I'll tell you.
No, I skipped it. I skipped the whole segment because I didn't want to be polluted.
Me too. I wanted to go in fresh. Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't want Cridlin infecting my mind with with stuff.
So, Benjamin, first of all, how'd that go, that interview with Podland? Was it fun?
I don't know if we can say it was fun, but it was really interesting. Actually, it was not with James Cridland, it was with Sam Setti.
Oh, yeah, Sam, of course, yeah.
We're going to have Sam on in a couple of weeks.
As you may have guessed, they are really interesting in the podcast recommendation tag that I suggested, I think it was last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, but
eventually we talked about many, many things, and about what we do in the company that my partners and I started to build 2 years ago.
And this is what I want to get into, and we're going to do some hot namespace talk with you, because you know you're French, so. but I'd like to understand a little bit about your background. And, you know, so I'm familiar with Castapod, which is the, I would say, the premier self-hosting solution. And I mean, it's different from WordPress, but, you know, then we'll get into the details of it.
But by the way, I'm not the only one behind it. We are two of us working hard on it.
Yes. Is that Pod Libre? Is that the organization that you and your partner have?
Yeah. Pod Libre is kind of a brand where we are putting every open source solution that we are building.
Got it. Including Durcast, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, exactly. But everything is hosted by the same company, which is called Adores, which means to the ears in Latin.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
And currently, I'm working on Castapod, but not full-time. And Yacine Dorry is also working on it. And he's a much better developer than I am. I'm not a real developer, actually.
Every developer I speak to says that. Now, that guy's much better than me. He's much better than me. I'm no good.
Yeah, but I'm no good and I'm old. So.
Well, that's crummy developer who's old. I'm there with you. I like the sound of that.
Welcome home, Benjamin. You're here with the crummy developer old guys. Yeah, this is beautiful. Yeah. This is purely an open source project. Does it make money? Do you have value donations? Or how do you pay the rent, if you don't mind me asking?
You talked about Deercast. I didn't know that you ever heard of this.
Yes.
So, very proud of it. And by the way, I'm a little impressed and intimidated to be in a podcast with the Podfather.
Please. No, that's very kind of you to say, but you are a full-fledged member here in the boardroom, because you're doing important work. Very important what you're doing.
I don't think I'm worthy, but
part-time CIO. That's what you're...
Yeah. Right.
So in the beginning, we were working on Deercast because our company, which is selling contextual monetization solutions for podcasters, we feared that Apple was too powerful and has a censorship power on everything. So we thought that an index that would be free from censorship would be very soon necessary and mandatory for us to be able to work. And back in 2019, we were at the Podcast Movement in Orlando with my partner.
Mm-hmm.
And we started talking about this project to everyone. And we got only negative feedback.
Wow, really?
But really interesting feedback. People were explaining to us that either user wouldn't see the point, like podcaster, that until you get kicked out,
what is the
added value.
Exactly. Now, let me give you, try and explain what Durcast is. Dave, have you seen this product, Durcast?
No, I've never even heard of it.
Oh, so it's on podlibre.org. And so the idea is it's a podcast index, which is stored on the blockchain. I'm just going to cut straight to it. So
yeah, that's it.
So you can't be deplatformed, but they and I just read through the description briefly. There is a way to augment or change your entries, I believe. It's not necessarily all immutable. Is that correct, Benjamin?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a blockchain. So if you want to put a new information on top of an older one, you can do that.
You just blow it out. Okay, got it. Yeah.
The idea was to be able to write and to read so that anyone could be able to read from the index and to write into the index. Because right now, with the Apple Podcast Index, you need permission to read and you need permission to write.
Yes, so, yes, yes, yes. Well, so when you saw the Podcast Index .org project come up, did you say, oh, finally someone gets it? Or how did you hear about us? What happened there?
No, we first said, this guy stole our idea.
Fucking Americans, god damn it. they took our pommes frites and called it French fries.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, shit. But,
actually, we were thrilled that you launched it because we had to realize that we couldn't handle that project. Mm-hmm. We weren't legitimate to do it. Other people have tried to do it, but they failed, and we would have failed, of course. So well, it was really good news when we saw that you did it for us and for free, because then we wouldn't have to pay for it.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's just value for value, and you know, I know you understand that concept, but I'll tell you that I'm personally, and I think Dave, once he takes a look at it, will be very interested in the concept, because you know, one of the things that is on our list is, okay, how do we replicate this? How do we not become the weakest link in the chain? How do we distribute and decentralize the whole function? Now, that's just going to take time, because I mean, you're literally building, in your case, it would be like a new blockchain, you know, and then you got to get some consensus and developers have to agree. And I think Dave and I like stuff that just kind of magically happens. We don't feel like much
it's
like
my favorite.
We don't like manage anything. That's not really the point of this. And so far that's been going really well. And what I love about your story is, you know, you are, you're like us, man. You're radical. And I have a feeling is that something typical for you, your family? Is it just being French? I mean, is there an overall vibe of fuck the man? I mean, we've seen some of it on the streets, but I love that. I'm impressed with this vigor about getting away from the centralized corporate interest.
I don't think we're radical at all. On the contrary, we are very pragmatic.
Yes,
we want to do business, and doing business requires true competition. And if there's no competition, either it means that there was no market from the beginning, or that someone has a monopoly which is messing up with everything.
Exactly.
So it of course, there's a value issue here, and we didn't start working on open source last year, but the first motivation that drove us to do that was business. It's good for business. Open source is a good thing for business.
It is. I so agree with you. We look at this project, and I've done lots of startups, and I've done venture capital, private financing. I've taken a company public. This is by far the most rewarding, most fun I've ever had. I mean, and if it works out, yeah, we'll be able to participate in some of the upside. But what we're doing, I think, for the ecosystem and how that's come together, I can't speak on your behalf, Dave, but this is like a dream gig.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot. Oh, it's lots of fun. I agree with that 100%. I mean, open source allows you to grow beyond your own capacity.
Yeah.
And that's only good for a project. I mean, you can't, otherwise, like literally, I would have to be doing everything. And I number one, I can't. And I don't think a team, you know, your size can either, Benjamin. But then, you know, beyond that, there's things I don't know. I mean, we have so many people that are contributing. And the one thing, like, we didn't even talk about this last week was Stephen Crater just completely redesigned our entire documentation.
Yeah, we need to mention it briefly.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's beautiful. And he, I mean, he just took that upon himself because he's a documentation guy. That's sort of what he does for his main
gig. But here's the main one. So he did that. And then I think there was Martin. I think he said, well, shit, the old one wasn't broken. I liked it the way it is. But okay. Now, in a corporate environment, there would have been a meeting, would have a meeting notes, yeah, a follow-up, then some manager's going to have to come in and say, focus now this groups. Is good, focus group, black box, white box, A-B testing, and then shit never gets done.
Yep.
So Benjamin, Castapod, which I think is an essential part of the ecosystem.
Yes, when we decided that Diorcast would stay in a drawer for quite a long time. We opened the second drawer, and there was just a wish list in that one, and it was Castapod, because we thought that... actually, when we started working on podcasts, we started to host a few ones. We chose Podcast Generator from Alberto Betella. I think he was on the show a few
weeks
from RSS.com.
Yeah.
Because it's open source, PHP, very easy, no database. And very soon we were blocked because we couldn't enter like season numbers, and we needed a modern version for that. So we just wrote down a wish list, and weeks after weeks, months after months, that wish list became so good looking that we started talking about it around us, and eventually we sent it to NLNet, which is
I remember those guys. That's an old school group
from Netherlands.
Yeah, old school group, sure.
And they work on the NG0 funds grants from the from Europe. And they accepted our project.
So you got you got a grant for this?
Yeah.
Wow.
We got a grant.
Oh, that's great.
I love that. Fantastic.
So the grant is not paying for everything that we're doing on that. But the thing is, first, we had confirmation that this was really something useful, that it meant something not just for us.
Right.
And then they're behaving as a client, but a client who will not be using the product he's buying. So
that's government. Really, is this a government grant or is this a private foundation?
No, it's government. It's the Europe.
Well, that's,
comes from Europe.
Long live the EU! We're gonna fund this great idea and not use it. All right,
it's a cascading fund. So the Europe give them the grant so that they redistribute it.
Yeah, they're making it rain.
And so, they were very picky about everything that we proposed, but in a very good way. They asked us to change many things, but everything they asked made so much sense.
What was their main focus? What was their main focus? Because this is very interesting. You know, this is in essence a podcast content management system that you can self-host, and we'll get to the details of it. I'm sorry.
First, I think the thing that they liked the most about our project and our approach was the fact that we wanted to mix together podcast and Fediverse.
Right.
But that's not in there yet, though.
No. But yeah, he's under the hood there.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's coming. It's a matter of days.
Oh, because so, you're working on ActivityPub, right?
Sorry.
Yeah, you're working on the ActivityPub stuff.
Yeah, actually, it's not me. It's Yassine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but that's coming.
How,
right?
How do I spell Yassine's name?
Yassine.
Okay.
Okay. And, so,
yeah, you were telling about what they like very much. What the
Yeah, and they were already concerned about privacy issues. Like, for instance, at the beginning, we wanted to embed RAD, you know, the NPR proposition to...
Tracking.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Analytics. Mm-hmm. And they dug very deep into that. They didn't ask us not to put that. They gave us a solution so that it would be GDPR compliant.
A legal solution?
Yeah, a technical solution so that it would be GDPR compliant.
Oh, man, you're really on the inside. You're getting all the tricks and tips from the the gang. Nice. So now do you have to deliver regular reports, and is there a final phase to this where it's completed and the grant is fulfilled, or when you hopefully go back to ask for more?
So the way you get paid, if that is your question, is you have to publish the code. So you just provide a Git URL and that's it.
Oh man, I was ready to come to Paris and present with you. I was like, hey, everybody, bonjour. Je m'appelle Adam, le podfather, le podpère, just so you know.
I'm counting here. We got like 20 GitHub repos. I mean, we could really
get some grant money. Yeah. Well, this is that's really interesting. It's very forward-looking, and congratulations on doing that. I've done a couple of things with government, and I always found it quite kind of icky. After a while, I'd see what's going on over there. I'm like, God, man, I really don't want to have anything to do with this. But you seem to be navigating that very well.
The thing is, this is my first time working with them. I heard some guy, Ludovic Dubos, who is working for XWiki. I don't know if you know that.
No.
His solution is named CryptPad. And it's end-to-end encryption notepad.
Oh, okay. Cool.
It's really cool. And he had been working with NLNet, so we talked together, and he explained to me how it works. And then everything went pretty straightforward. You just send the project you want to build, and then they come back with 2,000 questions, which are really, really relevant. Like they really try to understand how it's going to work. They're really good questions. Like question, you say, "Oh yeah, that's a good question. I haven't thought of that."
See, that's completely different than it is in the States.
Oh my God!
The bureaucracy here is you send in something and then you wait 6 months and you get back some forum letters that don't actually say anything.
Not everything works that way.
Okay.
No, that's for sure.
And then you agree to MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, and
they love those in Europe. We're gonna give, not really gonna give you a contract. We're gonna give you like something like a pre-contract. It's kind of like third base.
I want to ask you about this, if we can veer off here for a second. I want to ask you about the podcast recommendation spec.
Because
I think it's like I read through it, and once I understood, once I understood what you were trying to do, I can see its applicability everywhere. Like every time I hear something, I'm like, okay, that could be a podcast recommendation endpoint. That could be one. That could be one. That could be one. And so, like, I want everybody, I'm just going to give you my understanding of what this is, and you can tell me where I'm wrong or how you would tweak this. So basically, the goal here would be to take recommendations or podcast discovery and put it into the hands of podcasters or hosts themselves, rather than some other entity. So you're like moving the control of recommending things and discovery of things into where the podcaster is really the primary focus. Is that fair?
Yeah. Okay. This is one part of what we have in mind when we wrote that down. The thing is, right now, when we talk about recommendation, I don't know if you do, but that's the way I think of it. I think of Netflix or Amazon when you buy books. Usually, what you see is people who saw that also liked that, or people who read that book also liked that book.
Yeah,
I think it's a kind of creepy, and most of time it's not relevant. It's you're creating bubbles, and it's not very good recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
We've been working on recommendation systems for a decade, so that's something we think is missing. And because podcasting is decentralized by essence, it can be even more complicated. So what we need is a way to create recommendations that are not based on the user profile, but on mm-hmm. the content that you're listening to. The content should bring the recommendation, not the user. And this is something that we do every day.
By telling people, hey, you should check this out.
Yeah. You are currently reading this or listening to this. So this might be interesting also, but not because you went to this website and bought this and read that and so watched that video on YouTube.
No, it would be the it would be the equivalent of the author of the book you're reading to recommend other books to you.
Exactly.
See, that's the way I thought of it too, because you have, so one of the things that I do as I'm reading a book is a perfect example. One of the things I always do when I'm reading a book is as the author is quoting other people from other books, I'm always writing it down so that I can go and either buy those other books or somehow research them. I did that this past week. I was reading a Glenn Greenwald article, and he mentioned some other book that he said was really good. And I went on Amazon after I finished the article and bought the book. And so, like, in this regard, you could have a podcast where they're talking about certain things and they're recommending other things, not just other podcasts, but books, videos, all these kinds of, it's almost like the show notes.
I was going to say recommendation. It ties into show notes. It also ties into chapters in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's part of the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't try to hide that. It's
a nuanced difference.
Heavily inspired by what was already done. But one side effect for that would be like a reading list or a listening list. I don't know how we'd call them. The way recommendation works, and it does work right now, is people who are manually doing reading lists. Like the this week in France, Slate France, they started a podcast application with manual recommendation, and that works. But if you want that to work on any platform,
you need to get it into the feed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you need a new tag, and a new tag dedicated to recommendation.
Okay, hold on a second. When you say tag, we say bonjour, Benjamin.
And now it's time for some hot
namespace talk. Couldn't be any better than our Parisian friend.
I want to try to get this into phase three.
I think it's genius.
Well, because I think that so you could have, and tell me if I'm offending you by this, but not just the podcasters, but you could also have, the hosting companies could also insert recommendation tags.
I can see a million features. You know, I might want to have, clips that I used on the show, you know, somehow point to the original. You know, this, and it could be automated even. But is, I think the point that Benjamin's making is the recommendation is fucking beautiful. I think that's it. Instead of someone, other people who read the book get the recommendation from the guy who wrote the book.
Yeah,
that's so that's so powerful, and it really, it that's just powerful. I really like that. It's, and it's such a small nuance in thinking, really.
Yeah, as I'm looking through your, I'm looking through this, the examples, and the one that's really cool is you can have, as part of the recommendation, you can have embed a soundbite into there so that you, if you're recommending another podcast, you can actually have a soundbite of that other podcast.
Oh, shit.
Right there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Now, could you make that bi-directional where if I shoot off a recommendation, can it pull back a current sound clip from that podcast?
Yeah, that's, it's got the it's got a reference to the enclosure and the starting and the duration.
Right,
the
but what I'm saying is that it would be cool if I could read the other feed that I'm pointing to and bring in their starting points, their sound clip,
their sound bites.
Yeah,
what you mean.
Make it connect it.
I don't know. What do you think? What do you think, Benjamin? I mean, that seems like an API job to me.
Yeah. We have to think about that.
I'm just dreaming, fellas.
Yeah.
this is such a beautiful thing to do. Because it, you know, that's really, we've spent a lot of time over the last couple of weeks, and Adam, you know, you rewrote your whole What is Podcasting 2.0 thing, and which is good. I hadn't sent it back to you, but I marked it up. I think it's great. The one thing I'm noticing, and when I kind of realized it when I was reading through the podcast recommendation spec last week, was that that's another aspect of podcasting 2.0 is taking control, moving the locus of control back into the, like, closer to the source.
Yeah, exactly.
Back to the podcaster.
The podcaster makes the content. The content beautifully flows from their fabulous tool that creates their podcast. You know, that, man, we have so much work to do on tools. And then it comes into these new apps that are just sitting there, ports open, going, feed me some beautiful shit. And like, just give it to me. And we don't need anybody else.
How's this going to bake into Castapod? What is it going to look like?
Actually, I can see different ways, exactly as we are working now for the transcript or the chapters. Because the goal of Castapod is to make sure that the podcaster can do whatever he wants to. So there are basically two kind of recommendation that we can think of. The first one is manual. So like the podcaster wants to recommend a specific episode, maybe his, because he's talking about a subject that he already mentioned like 2 years ago, and he remembers it, but no one else will. So he can manually select a soundbite from an old episode or something from another podcast. Or maybe he wants to share audience with a friend. So instead of saying in the middle of something, hey, go listen to that other podcast, he can add a link to the other podcast. So that you don't have to look for it and to say, oh, where is that podcast I heard about? You just click on it.
Nice.
I think that's quite powerful, and that's just manual. Then, if you are, I don't know, you are doing a podcast on, let's say, black holes, and you want to find any podcast talking about the same subject, you may be using an external service that will be indexing and looking for this for yourself. So you will embed a link which will dynamically create the recommendations.
Nice.
I like it.
Nice.
The first
and you can do both. You can do both because you can have two links, one which is manual and one which is dynamic.
Yeah, okay, so I see here you can have it at the channel or the item level, and it can be, you can have more than one. You can have just as many batches of these as you want.
And then if you want to make a living out of your podcast by sharing audience, I don't know, maybe some service will provide that. You subscribe to it and you say, this is my podcast, and I want to share audience with someone else.
See, I wanted to talk about this last week with Paul and Evan, because I'd read your spec, and I was thinking the whole time, I was like, okay, I have tribes that I listen, that I'm a part of on Sphinx Chat, and there are other related tribes there that would just be a natural, it would be such a natural fit for somebody like Sphinx to have an endpoint for recommendations. So a tribe, you know, they could just, like, they're not even hosting podcasts or anything like that. But instead, you could go out there and just pull a recommendation XML from them. They could have an endpoint that just serves you the recommendation XML for a certain tribe.
And this is where we're coming up against some interesting flows. Now, Dave, you and I have both seen the forthcoming Breeze app, which is pretty much dedicated to, you know, the big podcast button, and there's podcast player in there. And which, by the way, I was delighted to find out that was the code from the Anytime player, which has been a podcasting 2.0 member for a while. I was like, wow, that's your code. Oh, yeah. But the features, so, you know, they're very focused on making, and it's obvious that that's what they're working on. So is Sphinx. It's just, they're still just getting the plumbing working. So for them to start putting resources towards stuff, it's just going to take them a while. And it's kind of the inverse of what we have with, I'll take Hypercatcher or Podfriend. I know they're working on it. Is, you know, all the features implemented, everything is slick, and they're improving the user experience, but, you know, they don't have the lightning experience. So I'm hoping that somehow these worlds are going to come closer and closer together. I know that Breeze is going to put all their code out there for everyone to strap on, developers. hey, strap on, will you?
There may be a solution to that. Because it's not the first time you're mentioning it. First, I must confess that I have no clue how this works. Okay. The lightning stuff. I'm currently installing LND on my Raspberry Pi, but that's how far I got.
Well, you're doing the dirty work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I feel dirty. That's true.
get a big hard drive.
But eventually, I'm pretty sure that I won't make it. So, what I think would work, what we need for this to work, is to have different teams working on different stuff that are really, really far away from each other. The lightning part and the podcast.
That's our current situation, is that.
Yeah. I don't know if that's good news. You tell me. So 3 months ago, we went back to NLNet, and we proposed to build a podcast application, open source, GPL v3, for iOS and Android. And that would aggregate the podcast app and the Fediverse part.
Oh, nice.
But that would be open source. So if someone wants to integrate and to add the Lightning part on that...
That would be a good place to do it, right?
Yeah.
So you're talking about just... You would be making just sort of a skeleton app that brings these pieces together. And it would be open source so that somebody else could pick it up and begin to build out something.
No. It's not a skeleton. It's a full-fledged app, which we're going to call probably a Castopod app.
Yeah, and you can compile it and put it in the App Store, basically, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's going to be Flutter.
Yeah.
So everybody loves Flutter. It works on both iOS and Android. Mm-hmm. So it's Google Play, Apple Store, and F-Droid, and source code.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So if you want to add features, be my guest.
That's cool.
That's very cool.
If you have, with recommendations, I think you can. I was thinking that Podcast Guru and Podverse, this seems like right in their wheelhouse to me.
Oh, because totally.
There's something that it just feels right for that sort of, because you have things like Hypercatcher, that, everybody, it's like, it's sort of what you're talking about, Ben. I guess I'm just thinking about this for the first time, so I'm a little stuttery on it, but it seems like everybody has their thing that they're good their at. Focus. Yeah. Each application has a personality of its own where you can tell what you can tell by looking at it, what the developer's first love was. And that remains, obviously with Podverse, it's clips, with Podfriend, it's ease of use and feature completeness. With Hypercatcher, it's chapters and rethinking the UI. And having a new experience, and you can go on and on. And so like every app has its own personality. Same with Castapod, and PowerPress and all these kind of things. So it's like they can all have pieces of the ecosystem together. And so then you bring in like what you're talking about with an open source app, and everybody can contribute and you get something greater than the whole. And you can have, people can contribute code. I mean, that's what people have been doing with podcasting, with Podcast Index. I mean, I don't understand how, I didn't write, like 1% of what's on the website. That's all been being done by other people. And I'm glad that it went that way, because it wouldn't be as good if I'd done it all myself. Everybody else has things they're good at, and I think it makes a stronger product if it's open and everybody can contribute, because everybody else brings their own flair to the table.
Well, so that would be we're gonna pressure the Breeze guys to do that. Hey, Breeze guys.
Yeah. Breeze guys.
Okay, Breeze guys, go over there and help this project out. So everybody can bake one of these. They win no matter what. They got the back end, so they're very happy. They want they want more people to use their code.
Yeah, about the Castapod app, I wouldn't call it a skeleton, but definitely it's a toolbox, a framework, so that you can use it and reuse it. And for instance, because we worked with NLNet, they were very picky again and had very specific questions, and one of them that they were really concerned about privacy.
Oh yeah.
And one thing that they really care about is how secure are your data as a user, and if you are listening to a podcast, who knows that you're listening to it, and even before that, when you were looking for it, who knows what you are looking for. And they asked us if it was possible to embed within the app the index. So that's when you are looking for a podcast, no one knows, because it's looking within a local index. So we said, yeah, probably we can download the podcast index or a part of it, let's say only French podcast or a true crime podcast. And then you can make an app that's specific for a specific audience, either for a target or a language, country, or for kids, and you have a system that's a whole ecosystem that lives by itself.
How about this, Ben? How about you got that over there with the Castapod app, and then we have the index over here. We create the initial flow, and we get it to you through the blockchain to get you started. And then yeah. and then you can just you could literally, you know, use the blockchain, only pick up the most recent blocks for the updates. I mean, I can totally see how that would work.
Yeah.
Well, I think it could work even over IPFS too, because we like the first stage of delivering the database as a massive dump is to do it as one big dump. And then, shortly here in the future, I'm going to split it up into smaller pieces and they'll all be hashed. And so this thing is going to change and evolve so that only the parts, you know, there's going to be, you'll be able to easily just download the pieces that you need. So I think in that, because ultimately what the dumps are for is to eventually create distributed aggregators. And so we need to split it into small chunks, whether those are 1,000 feeds per chunk or 10,000 feeds, I don't know. But if we had that, you could download the entire thing as a SQLite3 database into the app initially, and then you could go and pick up the chunks that changed. And that could be delivered, like Adam was saying, over blockchain or over IPFS or whatever.
They did dumps. They call them dumps, big, massive dumps.
Yeah, but even now with the dump, it works. There's a manual operation that you have to do. You have to download the dump, and then probably you have to query all the RSS feeds to get some information. But that works. Like today.
Yeah. Well, the way I see this going is like we're decentralizing stuff. But we need to do it in a way that it can't go. I don't know what I'm trying to say here. What I'm hesitant about is going too fast.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And that sounds weird, but like it has to evolve in pieces, because nobody's going to jump on board with, hey, everybody, let's move podcasting to the blockchain. So, no.
True.
Maybe that's where ultimately we want to end up.
Well, that's why this is an interesting bridge towards putting those pieces that are necessary onto the device or the app itself, and then provide updates. But then, you know, this is where, I mean, I'm just going to be a broken record about Lightning. Because then you could, you know, it's fair. You pay to get it in. You know, there's all these different parameters that become a lot better than it's free. Who gives a fuck? You yeah. know, the minute you, even if it's one Satoshi, you're more careful. And then from there, once you're moving the elements of feeds around, or pointers to feeds or whatever it is, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, you can do all kinds of stuff. You know, me and my community connect it all. I can't stay away from the bubble chart. It's mind-boggling.
I wonder how big the dump is. Let's see.
Hey, Ben, question for you. So I had my my co-founder and partner, Dave Jones. He's a big man on campus. Like, oh, yeah, I'll install that Castapod for you. And I'm pretty sure he got busy on other more important matters. I looked at it. Now, I've since last looked at it, I've become a little more familiar with cPanel. Should I attempt? Because I have kind of a specific setup because I have existing hosting, and what I'm most worried about is transitioning to a new system. And I really, 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 I can't say it enough, really like what Castapod has to offer, because I want to be leading with all the tags and I want the coolest shit. And you seem to be doing it in Castapod because you really have there's nothing holding you back. And I saw even now you can do freeform tags if you don't have an interface for it. I really want it, but when I fuck something up on my feed, Ben, it's like hell breaks loose for weeks.
Yeah,
it messes up everybody's player, and my email is filled, and I feel like a heel. So what do you recommend here?
I definitely not using cPanel.
Okay.
Because Castapod was designed to be easy to install and cheap to host and modern and
Why am I failing then?
You're not failing. We probably did. And probably because we are still in alpha version. So
Okay.
The paint is not dry yet.
But what I'd like to do, at your discretion, I don't mind messing stuff up and fooling around and trying to do stuff, maybe not necessarily immediately on the No Agenda feed, but podcasting 2.0 is a great playground for it. I can be your best tester. I promise you, I will help you make that product better. I just need the help. I mean, since 6 months, and Martin made the RSS generator, and it got me almost to where I needed to be. But we couldn't have him maintaining it. He's working on his own project. So I just need this one thing, and then I'll put you in my value block for every feed that I create. I will send you 5% of my cut.
We can host you for sure. That's because I know exactly how it works. It takes me like 3 minutes, really 3 minutes, to set up a Castopod new podcast. I installed one for Anita Porsche. So that she can test, and she had some feedback. The widget thing we implemented like 2-3 weeks ago. She asked for it.
That's
she
said, the sharing widget player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is something that it was in our roadmap, but like
push it forward.
Yeah. So we moved it so that because she needed it.
The thing is, I
haven't installed the one for you yet, because I'm intimidated first.
Okay.
We're still in alpha version, meaning some stuff break and change. And I'm not confident to host something that's a podcast that you will talk on, because probably there will be huge bandwidth consumption.
Not for podcasting 2.0, though.
Well, no, I mean, what? See, that's the thing.
How many downloads do you get on this podcast?
No idea.
On this podcast, I don't know.
Yeah,
we have no idea. But I have a specific situation where I have basically a bucket, and I throw everything into that bucket. It's the MP3 files, my feeds, my chapters. My transcripts. I mean, chapters come from a different bucket. So I just need to be able to write to that bucket with a feed that we initially have imported from the old feed, and then I'm good to go. You do not want to be hosting my RSS or my MP3, and that will crush you.
Understand.
Yeah. So that's why I'm saying, is there a way that when you're ready, when you feel it's ready, I completely respect that it's alpha and you don't want to.
We will be ready like within week. Actually, as soon as ActivityPub is up and running.
Yeah, because I want to tie that straight into the Mastodon. Yeah. Oh yeah,
we're good to go. I'm still working with Hypercatcher,
mm-hmm.
David, because I think. Yeah, because I think that would make much sense, that you can create the podcast episode, and then Hypercatcher would deal with everything, that you don't have anything to do. So that's the chapter.
The AI stuff he has, mean? Yeah.
So that it's automatic.
Yeah, that's cool.
Everything is underneath, just API calls. You don't have to deal with it anymore. Yeah. And that's very a small feature to develop.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, Castopod, I think it makes perfect sense for a podcast. Even if it's not ready, it makes perfect sense for the podcasting 2.0 feed.
Oh.
We're going to break stuff anyway. So.
Yeah. Well, even that, I don't like breaking.
I want to know how many downloads per week you're doing. If it's too much, I'll get afraid. And if it's not enough, then I'm going to bed right now.
Wow. Okay. You know, America and France does have a special relationship. You realize that, right? You
know, yeah, I know.
Very unique relationship. You guys invented our political system, so we give you full credit for that. We just have to learn how to chop off their heads. We didn't learn that from you. I'm not kidding.
We forgot.
You forgot, too.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore.
No. You guys were innovators. Innovators in the space of chopping heads. I think you're a smart guy, Ben. I really love the thinking that you put into all of this. I'm in a weird situation. You know, we have all these great partners working on it with hosting companies, and I'm like, why don't we all work together on an IPFS solution? You know, so it's only going to save them money, gives everyone a little more level playing field, and you can make money on your actual features instead of bullshit bandwidth, you know, and managing your curve. And oh my God, what business is unhappy that you get a successful podcast? You know, a lot of them are. It's like, oh shit, we got a really big one. Well, how are we going to offset that? So if we could figure that, and it's been figured out, if we could motivate and agree on some things, I mean, which I see Castapod as being a driver of, you guys are perfect for that.
Thank you.
And so when are you gonna do it?
One thing at a time. We're still a small team. We're four of us working in our company now. So we are we're starting the company. We are still working with investors.
Are you looking for investors?
Yeah, sure. Okay. We are.
Well,
we contacted some and we're still looking for new ones.
You know, there's a lot of guys out there who have a lot of money that they're looking to invest, very good terms, as long as they can put it into some Bitcoin related project. And, you know, and this is not banks, you know, it's a very, you know, you get into very simple agreements with them. I helped out another company just by talking to an investor, and the guy had made some money in real estate to put into Bitcoin, and he wants to invest in some Bitcoin, specifically Lightning related businesses. So if you ever want to go that route, I mean, I can certainly hit me up if you need anything. Happy to help.
Yeah, we're not much in the Bitcoin industry right now.
Right, but the Lightning thing is something that could be in your future. I'm just pushing you.
Yeah, I understand. Understand. So I work harder on my Raspberry Pi, my LND.
I would suggest, you know, Raspi Blitz.
I saw that. But the thing is, I cannot find my Raspberry Pi screen anymore. I have one somewhere.
I know this. It's like I got this new Raspberry Pi, and like, oh shit, I don't have a keyboard. I can't fit a monitor into a USB-C. What the hell? Yeah, it's tough. Well, what's the other one, Dave?
Umbral.
Umbral. Yeah. That seems to be a pretty cool install. Seems to be a little simpler than Raspi Blitz.
Yeah, that's my plan B.
Okay. Yeah, I hear that's a really good one. Could you have a few minutes, Benjamin, just stick with us while we thank some people for the value that they returned to us, and then we can wrap up after that?
I have all night long.
when a Frenchman says that to you, you know you're good to go, ladies and gentlemen. This is a value for value project, podcast index, this show, Podcasting 2.0. It's all put together to create as much value as possible. No advertising, corporate money, no creepy investors of any kind. It's just the people producing the whole project together. And all we ask is that you provide us with whatever value is appropriate back to us, time, talent, treasure. And if you're sending us treasure and whatever it is, just make it a meaningful amount to you, whatever your contribution, make it meaningful to you. And that has been working very well for us. I think we're now 6 months and we're moving fast. We are pushing things. I didn't expect to be this far 6 months into it. That was not my expectation.
No, we got a
We'll talk about that in a minute. Let's thank some people. Right off the bat, Ben and Alberto
from RSS.com.
Mm-hmm. $500.
What? Man, those guys. Thank you so much.
Hi, Adam and Dave. We're running out of things to say here. Good thing the donation speaks for itself. Yes, it does, guys. We value what you do, why you do it, and how you have fostered a community of great minds and talent. No sad puppy today. No, sir.
No sad puppy. Happy puppy.
Yes.
Thanks, thank guys. You guys. RSS.com, bro. Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Always appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Ooh, Scott Napier?
No, I recognize that name.
Is that a No Agenda guy, maybe?
I think so.
Okay. He gave $100.
Wow.
Yeah, and he said, simple note, he just said, keep it going, Adam and crew, nice work.
Thank you so much, Scott.
Yeah, we can keep it going.
Because of that. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly because of that.
So the database problem.
Oh.
I woke up, his note reminded me of that.
Beginning of the week, you mean?
Yeah, what was this like? Last Saturday, I think. Something like that. No, I remember it was last Friday. I woke up and I have all these emails because I have a cron job that runs every 5 minutes on all the servers that checks for disk space. And if disk space drops below a certain percentage, I get an email about it. Well, I start getting all these emails from the database server.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Saying,
now you got to catch it quick before it runs out and you can't. Yeah. Can't save it.
It was like, but what was weird is it was like the database, I'd get an email and then 5 minutes later I'd get another email saying it's 85% full. And I'd get a next one that said it's 95%.
Oh no.
Full. And then it would go, and the next one 5 minutes after that was like 70%. It kept ping ponging and forth. And so I'd run over there and pull it up, and there was a runaway select that I had been messing around with. And I thought I had killed it, but evidently I didn't.
What were you trying to select?
Well, I was working on the getting the most recent enclosure thing. Mm. And that's a complicated query with some sub-selects in there. And if you get that wrong, you can easily end up building. If you get that wrong.
The database is rebuilding itself.
Yeah, right. Essentially. Yeah. The episodes table is like 70 gigs. And so
it was replicated.
Mess that up. Yeah. It will build a temporary table that's almost the entire thing. So
because let me guess, because of the value we received, you were able to set up a complete replication system and save the day.
Oh, no.
Damn, that sounded good. Whatever your story is, this one's better.
No, I just restarted the database server.
Unplugged it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, essentially that's what I did. I just sudo reboot. And I was like, please, please don't die. But anyway, but now if we need to, and by the way, Christopher Isine is trickling in feeds on a daily basis now. We're the database is about to hit 1.5 million feeds.
And this
1.5.
And this is all on stats.podcastindex.org now?
Yeah, the
nice.
New page.
Yeah, nice. We got our own page. Woo!
It looks to be doing about one every couple of seconds, I think. And so we started at around 1.35 or something like that, and now we're just about to 1.5 million. And so that the database is going to grow. The episodes table is going to be humongous.
Oh, I'll bet.
We may need a bigger database server. So if we need it, we got it.
That's what's so beautiful, man. Let me see. So does this change dynamically when a new one pops up?
It's every 15 minutes, I think, as it refreshes. Yeah.
Sweet.
Let's see. We got John Kolb. I think that's how you say it. K-O-L-B. Is that
Kolb? Kolb. Yeah. I think. Kolb.
Oh. Yeah, John Kolb III gave us $33.33.
Magic number.
Yep. They said, Adam and Dave, hardware engineer and podcast fan here.
All right.
Something about the deep dive into the namespace gives me a warm feeling inside.
See, it's working already.
Thanks. thank you, John.
That's appreciated.
And we got two, we lost a $50 a month subscription this month. So that stings.
It does happen.
But we gained, Alex Gates gave us a $25 a monthly subscription.
Ooh, nice. Thank you, Alex.
Everybody knows Alex.
Those recurring donations are great. Really appreciate mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, thank you, Alec. And thank you for the donation, but also thank you for all your input. He's really active on the Mastodon Indeed. And on the GitHubs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really appreciate that. There was no note. And then Thomas Sullivan gave us a $5 a month subscription, and those are extremely helpful because that will cover there. We've got plenty of $5 a month, 1 gig VMs.
And yes, no kidding. One. No kidding. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Thank you, Thomas. Very appreciated, guys. And that's it. That's our group.
Well, thank you all. Keeping the lights on, keeping the servers running. Once again, we make it through another week. Podcastindex.org, scroll to the bottom. We got a big, big red button. Click on that. You can still send your cuck bucks through the PayPal system. And we're lightnifying and Bitcoinifying everything. Eric the Shill is working on back office, all kinds of... I see him putting a lot of QR codes and things in place, so he's doing something to
the man with more monitors than anybody I've ever seen.
He's like, I have a ground loop on my mic. Gee, I don't know. Maybe unplug half of those televisions you got blasting on you. Oh, man. So what's the future for you and for Pod Libre, or maybe for you personal, Benjamin?
We are starting to commercialize our contextual monetization program. So that's going to be a big chunk on our desk in the coming months.
And how does that? What exactly is that?
So actually, what we do is that we analyze and index the podcast episodes. So the audio files and the metadata.
Yeah.
We have a semantic search. We extract what it talks about, and we link that to anything.
Oh.
And that can be ad or affiliate product or whatever. And we are conducting some tests now. We display these ads within the show notes.
Oh.
And and that works pretty well because we have a 5% click rate on these.
Huh.
And it's totally cookie-less.
Wait, so this is a contextual promotion system. I don't need to call it ads because you put anything there. So that's that's okay. Here I go again. So you could also create contextualized chapters?
Yes.
Interesting.
Huh. So, okay. So if you have, so you could run a recommendation endpoint then.
I'm so not sure what you have in mind here.
Well, for your recommendation tag. So let's just say that, okay. I'm trying to think of a good example. Okay, let's say that you are a Buzzcast, and here's a better example. Let's say that you're the new media show with Todd Cochran and Rob Greenlee, mm-hmm. and if they want to put a recommendation tag into their feed, they could call out to you. With their feed information, you can pull out of your system things that are recommended. For instance, a link to a Libsyn discount code, a link a Blueberry, things like that, and then a soundbite from two of their shows that are good demos. And you could return that as just a chunk of XML that they could just automatically include in their feed.
Something that's directly related to it that really makes sense. That's the whole point of what we're doing.
Okay. See, because that's neat. Because that's the way I see. I know there's always going to be people who want to hard code and manually code their own stuff. But with, to me, the ultimate power of something like a recommendation tag is that you have people, you have other companies like yours or like hosting companies. You have other companies that can, you can call out to them and get a batch of recommendations curated and returned as XML that you can just drop in. And then there can be an incentive there, a monetary incentive, or however that market develops.
Was that a question?
No. It's just me entertaining myself.
No,
our expertise is working on recommendation engines.
Yeah, so
that's
I think
what
y'all
we've
would
been
be
doing for decades.
Yeah, so y'all would be fantastic at it. You know,
and this is really kind of a combo of human intelligence and artificial intelligence.
Yeah, exactly.
And you actually get to, because with your recommendation choices, you could, in fact, I think, train the AI to some degree.
Yeah, possibly.
Okay.
So I want to start back up the phase three of the namespace at the end of the month. And so I'm thinking, and you tell me what your opinion has been. I like there to be some sort of balance between things that we can use right now and things that are more aspirational, looking down the road, moonshots, whatever you want to call them. And so for what I'm thinking right now for phase three, I would like to do the recommendation stuff. I would like to also put location into the chapters, JSON format. And then I would also like to do trailers. Because I think the trailers can be immediately useful. We've already had at least one host. I think, who was it? It's Captivate. Captivate is the one who came up with the trailers tag idea. So I'm thinking if we have recommendation and trailers, and then a tweak to, in addition to the location into the chapters format, that seems to me like a pretty good batch to work on for phase three.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Perfect. Go for it.
I'm thinking we start back. I think we start back up rolling with the namespace April 1st. Having a break has been good because it's let me catch my breath and catch up with some of the code that I was really getting neglected. But I think it's time to crank
your
thing back up.
Yours, but also our breath.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Because you are hard to keep up with.
What I'm always worried about is we create something fantastic and it just kind of sits over there and we go 1,000 miles like what was that thing again, and we just left it on by the side of the road, you know.
Yeah, that's always
is there anything like that right now that we've just kind of left dangling?
I don't think so. Really? No, I think everything's been pretty
up to speed.
Yeah, I mean, there's somebody doing all of it. You know, somebody's doing at least one piece of all of it.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's anything on the floor, really, that I've seen.
I don't think either.
Well, yeah. Benjamin, I am so delighted to have been able to meet you this way and speak with you.
Well, so am I.
And I'm over the moon with the thinking you're bringing to podcasting 2.0. I mean, the project. This is some deep shit. And the recommendation...
Thank you. Means a lot to me.
You're doing something really... And this, you know, as Dave mentioned, I completely rewrote and everyone's helping out on just a brief explanation of what is Podcasting 2.0 with the main mission of making it easy for any journalist to understand, which is probably the lowest bar I can go for. But it was a request, so I like that request. And the big part of it really is, and what's hard is to describe how beautiful, you could probably do it for any open source movement, but how beautiful it is to allow for all these features, all these ideas to come in, and they happen or they don't. You know, it's like there's hardly anything someone's built that hasn't been implemented by at least one other person. and it just starts to grow into something. Well, this is what we wasted 10. Well, I didn't. I dropped out, but 10 years went by, and look at all this pent up energy that everyone has. And it's beautiful to see it. And I really appreciate what you and Yassine are doing and the rest of the team. And I also appreciate Madame von der Leyen, who indirectly, as the president of the European Union, gave you a grant so you can do this work.
Actually, she gave 2 grants.
Wow. She only just got in.
Yeah.
Making it rain. Nice. Nice. Von der Leyen.
How do you know that person?
She's the president of the European Union.
Oh, I thought you knew. No, who is that you know that was the...
Oh, I know the climate guy.
Yeah, that's it. The MTV guy, right?
What?
Wasn't he the MTV guy?
No. MTV guy?
Yeah.
You mean politician?
Some dude was like a media guy, and then he became a politician. Wasn't it the dude that was the president of the? No, he was at the. He was at NPR for a while.
Oh! No! You think of someone else. I'm talking about Frans Timmermans. He was in the running for the Dutch politician. He was in the running for the European Union for the presidency, and he cut a deal, and now he's the climate czar.
Okay,
and so he gets to go find I don't know. 100 trillion from here, 100 trillion from there.
Damn, I almost forgot.
What?
I don't know if I want to. Okay, all right, I got to do it. I've got an idea for Earth Day, which is April 22nd, I think. I better make sure of this. Let's see, Earth Day.
I always forget it.
April 22nd.
Okay.
All right. The guy from Podcasters Declare.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mark contacted me.
Oh, okay. I like this.
Yeah. And he...
For the climate tag.
Yeah, climate tag. So I just had this idea, and I'd asked on the Mastodon for people to tell me whether or not you could put in a tag in iTunes that does not exist. So if you have a feed in iTunes in the Apple podcast directory,
I think it just ignores it, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what they said. Mm-hmm. They said that it'll safely ignore it.
Uh huh.
So here's my idea for Earth Day.
We launch the tag on Earth Day.
No, everybody puts in the iTunes. Everybody puts in a bogus iTunes climate category tag in their feed. The whole world.
Okay.
As PR.
Now, at what point does Greta do this?
I don't know.
Because if you don't have Greta, you're not going to get any traction.
Well, we need Greta. I think it's a silent protest.
Yeah, but it won't show up anywhere.
But that doesn't matter because you have the, you just PR it because it's the PR that gives you the pressure.
See, you know my stance on this.
What is it?
For me, it's like, why don't we just implement it and tell them to go fuck themselves?
Oh, well, I mean, that's always the, that, so, we could do.
So I'd love for that, everybody to put the climate tag in, but I'd love for it to just work.
We could do. See, we're still griping about how to do categories over here, so we're not even ready to do it. So, but I just think it's a great thing to do. It's like, oh, you want to have Apple, you want to pressure them into giving you a climate tag.
But how will that pressure them?
Well, because it gives, it's all in the media. It's like,
who's going to report on that? Who's
1 million podcasts on Earth Day are implementing a climate tag because they're doing it themselves because Apple won't do it.
Dave.
1 million podcasts. I don't know. I'm just making crap up, man.
No, I appreciate the sentiment. I just want to turn that into something good for us, too.
Yeah, I know. I can't figure that part out.
sorry that you had to listen to that to us struggling there, Benjamin. As I was about to let us all go, Dave dragged us down. He dragged us down.
Problem. Now we're like talking 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and we're talking about Greta Thunberg. You know, it's gotten.
I was wondering if I have to implement that into Castopod. But,
Well, eventually, I think whatever we come up with categories, I'd like to see the climate folks get satisfied. That would be fine. I think that's important.
But now you can add anything you want into your RSS feed, so not my problem anymore.
That's right.
There you go.
Right, yes, indeed. Right there with Castopod. Benjamin Bellamy, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Love the work that you're doing. And again, thank you for really pushing everything further. It's great. And it's just great to have partners in France. It doesn't happen very often.
Well, it's my pleasure, and yeah, there are many, many great open source and podcasters in France.
Well, I want to come visit.
They just don't speak English, probably.
Well, give me 48 hours, and I can kind of ask for a few things, but I'd love to come back to Paris, and when I do, maybe I can take you out for a coffee or for a meal.
That'd be really welcome.
All right. Mr. Jones.
Yep.
Are we good? We need anything? What? I should just mention the Breeze app should be launching next week.
Nice.
And cool. It's a whole different view of looking at how everything can be.
I got an iPhone. You're having all the fun. I get nothing.
Yeah, right. I got the APK. Well, for some reason the Flutter guys always wind up doing the iOS part last. I'm sure there's a reason for it. Be on the lookout for that. Thank you both very much. And thank everyone else who is here for the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. And we will gladly be back with you again next week. Same place. Make sure you join us and check us out at podcastingnext.org. See you next week. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!